السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You get two types of mindsets. One is a person who wants to do everything right. For example, a person needs a loan. He needs a loan. So he goes to a family member or a friend and he is taking a loan out of necessity, out of some need, out of some necessity. And he takes the loan, puts everything down in writing, and he's got all the niyat, all the intention to pay back. However, whatever business he was supposed to do or whatever, the things didn't work out for him. And now he's unable to pay back. So that type of person, Allah Ta'ala will help him. Allah Ta'ala will assist him because his niyat is to pay. Now, things have gone a little bit bad for him, but his niyat, his intention is to pay, and Allah Ta'ala will help him, assist him to pay back. And so much so that sometime he may be trying everything he can to pay back. He drops his standard of living, cuts out all his extra expenses, everything, and he's trying to pay, but things just don't work out for him. From morning till evening he's working, whatever few pennies he gets, he's paying, but it's not really working out, and he passes away before he pays. And there is nobody to settle that debt for him. There's nobody who takes on the debt, says, I'll settle it on his behalf or whatever. Then it is hope for this type of a person that on the day of Hashar, Allah Ta'ala will please his creditors in order for them to forgive this person. Because hukukul ibad, so they have a right to claim. But it is hope that Allah Ta'ala will offer them something greater and they will accept that and waive this thing. On the other hand, you get a person who he has made up his mind from beforehand that he is going to rob a certain person or he is going to pull a certain person. Right? He knows he got nothing of substance and he goes to take a loan from that person. He's got no intention to really pay. Now, that type of person, a lot of wa'id, a lot of warning in the ahadith regarding this type of person. So much so that this can have disastrous consequences for the person in the akhirah. Now, if a person came to you and took a loan from you, genuinely, and after that he couldn't pay, and you know genuinely this happened, his shop got flooded, or he got looted, or whatever, something happened, now you know, you yourself will have raham for him. You yourself will have mercy in your heart. Say, all right, never mind, but don't worry. You take it easy. When you got it, you sort out. Or, you know what, you're owing me so much, I make it half. You know? Or if it's a small amount that you can, just, you know, Allah has blessed you, you may even tell him, but you know, never mind. Don't worry about it. Man. It's mafis. But if somebody came and he was premeditated, he wants to rob you. Right? And now he took you for a ride. Took you for a ride. Now, how you feel against that person? You feel a pain, you know? You feel a pain, you feel a hurt. And this person premeditated, you know. Now keep that in mind. And now look at our deen now. The deen is there that we have to follow it. The Sharia, the Sunnah, we have to follow. That's our life. We must follow that. So a person, he has got it in his heart and mind that I need to follow the Sharia, I need to follow the Sunnah. And he's got that mindset. You know, everything I must do it right. Now because he's insan, he'd make mistakes. And even in trying to do it right, he won't be able to really do it to such a quality that he can present it to Allah Pak. It's not worthy of presentation to Allah Ta'ala. Whether a person is going for Hajj, whether a person is giving charities, whatever. Right? However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the person's heart. Allah will forgive him. Allah forgives his shortcomings. Allah forgives the mistakes that he makes. Without him even raising his hand, Allah forgives. Sometimes he does some other amal, Allah overlooks, Allah Ta'ala forgives. He does certain thing here, Allah Ta'ala wipes out the gunas. On the other hand, a person, he's not interested. He's not worried about the Sharia, he's not worried about the Sunnah. He wants to do whatever he wants to do. And then he is looking for loopholes in rulings. He's looking for some loopholes in the rulings, you know. And now he justifies using a certain Hadith Sharif, which is not even, you know, like sometime people, they have a wedding. So now they put some music there. Now why they put in the music? Because they want music. The music is haram. The music is haram. Even if they call it nasheed. But you got all these drums and beats and everything inside. That too is music. So it's haram. But now they want it. The person wants it. Right? But now he's going to invite Gorabaji and Nalla Mahaji and Goramamaji and everybody there. And then you have to call the Imam Sahib too. So now, how are you going to justify this thing now? So now if somebody asks him, he said, no, no. Even Sahaba's time used to play the duff. Now, what the duff got to do with this music? But now you'll find one justification. No mufti gave him anything, none of the imams said anything, nothing. But now he finds a justification. Now, that is very bad. That is a very bad thing. It's like that person who came and took you for a ride. You can't take Allah Pak for a ride. But that mentality is very bad. Whether it's in our business, whether it's in our personal life, whether it's in our occasions, whatever. Always have this mindset that I want to do it the right way. Then, no matter how much I try to do it right, I'll still make mistakes. And it won't be worthy of presentation. But Allah Ta'ala will know what is in our heart. Allah knows our niyat. And Allah will know that this banda of mine is trying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook the shortcomings, the mistakes. But now when a person, see now Hajj, right? Going for Hajj. So a person has taken, you know, all the steps to try and ensure that, you know, my risk is halal. I'm going with halal, Rosie. I'm not stealing somebody's money and going. I'm not robbing somebody and going. I'm going with halal, Rosie. Right? My business dealings all are in line with the Shariat. So I'm taking halal rosy and doing. Then now he is concerned. But you know what? What's the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do? Where am I supposed to spend the nights? What is the right time for the stoning? Everything, he wants to know what's the right thing to do. So he makes up his mind from beforehand. No, I'm going to spend my night where is the sunnat way, mustahab way, the right way, I'm going to do it that way. But now when he goes, now something may happen. Where he is unable to do it in the mustahab time. So now he will take the second best option. Alright, I couldn't do it that time, I can do it at this time. You know? So now Allah Ta'ala in His mercy can give this person great rewards, high, high rewards. Because Allah knows that this banda of mine, he had the zeal, he wanted to do everything right. Now some circumstance came, due to that, he couldn't do it that way, but his niyat, he wanted to do it, give it to him. But now you got a person, you know, one is you go for Hajj lessons from the ulama and the muftis and all. And the other is all the Hajj lessons in the pavement panchayat club and the Hajj lessons in the family gatherings and all that now. So now you will get one cousin's dozen, somebody will whisper in the wife's ear or in the husband's ear. No, you see, Meena, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay. You just have to come, do your stoning, and then you go stay in the hotel. As it is, you are in Aziz, yeah? All your things are there. You go back there, stay aram, everything. And after that, you come next day, stoning time, do your stoning and go. But was that how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it? Now, from beforehand, the person already now, no, he's looking for this loophole and this, how I'm going to get away from this and how I don't have to do that and how I don't. That's not a nice attitude. Attitude must be that I want to do it right. I want to do it right, I want to do it properly. Everything. I'm just using Hajj because Hajj, a couple of people going for Hajj also. Allah Ta'ala take them and make them remember us in their du'as, make it maqbool, maghroor. So I'm just using example. But anything in our life, anything we're doing in our life, we mustn't have that conniving mind, that deceptive mind, that conniving way and deceptive way, that is shaitan's way. See, shaitan is a conniver, he's a deceiver. We mustn't have that mindset. The mindset must always be a clean heart. And I want to do right. I want to do it right. I will speak the truth. I will do it the right way. Even if it goes against me too, I'm still going to speak the truth. I want to do things right. So when we have that attitude, then inshallah we will come closer. You see, like that sahabi, he invested his money in the wine, right? Because that time it was permissible, they were dealing in wine. Now after that, the Ayat-e Karima came. So he came to ask Nabi, he put his whole case in front, you know, is this thing haram? So when he got the ruling, he went and destroyed it, finished. Because I want to do what's right. Not, you know what now, I bought the TV, I bought my house, now I need to find a justification for it. Oh, I'm changing my life now, this TV is haram, I'm going to get rid of it, but now, can I get my money back? Can I get my money back? I'm asking one fatwa here, one fatwa there. The person who has got his, you know, his iman, his taqwa, and he wants to do right. See, this filthy thing here made me engage in so much haram. Right? Only place for this thing is a shooting range. Or a scrapyard or something. Finish. Finish the thing off. Khalas, out of my life. Now he won't be thinking, you know, but can I get my money back? Can I do this? If I sell it, now what's the story? You know, can I make a profit on it too? He won't be thinking like that. He just wants it straight down the line. What is the right thing for me to do? Finish. So our mindset must be like this with our deen. What is the right thing to do? Not I'm looking for all the time, looking for loopholes. I want to do it like that. Now how can I find a justification in deen to make it work? That mustn't be my mindset. I want to know what is deen. That's what I need to come on to. I must do that. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So we're starting a new majlis of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi. So this majlis was in Safar 1431, corresponding to February 2010. I'm making a mistake. So I'm looking at the dates and I'm thinking, how can be this? The booklet was, you know, prepared on that date. The majlis date was 18th Ramadan Sharif, corresponding with March 1992, 24th March 1992. It was a Tuesday, the 18th of Ramadan Sharif, 1412. Those who came to Jalalabad for their islah, they resided in the Khanqa. They were expected to attend the special majalis that were conducted by Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali for the Salikin. They must avail themselves. They have come there for islah. They must make sure that they are present in the majlis. Those who wished to discuss any problems they were facing could discuss them verbally with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, or they could do so in writing, by writing their challenges in notebooks, which were then left with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali would then append his reply in these notebooks. The notebooks would then be collected by the writers. So people used to have their copy, and they used to write. Some of them, Hazrat used to tell them, I want you to write now your whole day, what you're doing, whatever. And they used to write it down. And then they used to leave the copy. Hazrat would go through it, he'd answer wherever he needed, and he would return it to them. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali commenced this particular majlis by commenting on some written notes he had received from one of the Salikin staying in the Khanqa. So Hazrat started off, and he said, what benefit is there in using the tip of the tongue in lengthy futile speech and the tip of the pen in lengthy writings? The issue is concise. But the narration is lengthy and non-beneficial. Layan. Page upon page has been filled, but achieving nothing thereby. He has written such a long story of his household affairs and the illnesses afflicting members of the household and the treatments undertaken. The matter is straightforward. What is the matter? That members of the household are afflicted by illness. The nature of the illness is such and such. We are requesting du'as. Finish. Now what's the need to write a whole thesis? However, he goes on and on. This type of treatment was undertaken. That type of treatment was undertaken. Home remedies were undertaken. All in all, a lot of money also was spent. But there was no benefit from the medications. Now he writes, make dua. The situation in the house is like this. The sister's condition is like that. Wife's condition is like this. This is the situation with regards to the dispute amongst the family members, so on, so forth. Then they end and make dua. Unnecessarily, he has filled page upon page. One does not know in what manner he has attained his dini knowledge. Who's saying Hazrat Isa? Now, remember, this is Islah. This is Islah. Today, we don't want Islah. We don't want Islah because we get offended when anything is said to us. We get offended. So, we don't want Islah. But those people, they wanted Islah. So, they used to take everything. Today, instead of the murid being under the microscope of the sheikh is gone under the microscope of the murid. It's gone like that now. The sheikh, the murids are busy. They've got the sheikh under the microscope. One does not know how he studies the kitab, Mukhtasarul Ma'ani. Now, ulama will understand that. So this is truly amazing. There is no concept of proper utilization of time. See what it boils down to, that you are taking so much of time to write all this, you can put the time to good use. And now you're taking so much of my time to make me read all this, whereas the matter is concise, simple, in 2 lines, 3 lines, you could have written what you needed to write. Like sometime, a murid, he says, I'm trying to write this letter from so long, but I'm not getting down to finishing it. Why? Why so much of a thought process going into it? If a person is honest, straight, this is what happened. Please advise. Finish. But now, he got a premeditated thing now. That no. I need to put it like this. Now when he's putting it, he's reading. No, wait. I need to take out that line. I need to word it like this. Because he'll understand that. He won't understand this. Now what Islah is going to get me? He's making it all flowery. Seeing now what point I must mention, what point I mustn't mention, all that. There's no need for all of that. He just needs to be straight and honest. This is what happened. Just give it as it is, and the sheikh will give him the advice. And if there's Islah to be made, the sheikh will make the Islah. He goes on to write that he is in need of employment. He went to this place, that place, all this, he wrote out application form. And then he writes, requesting duas. What was the need to write all these details? His mind does not go in the direction of proper utilization of time. He is residing here in the Khanka, and he still writes in his notebook, how is Hazrat's health? You're staying here, you know what you're asking, how's the health? That's a waste of time, is wasted time, wasted ink, wasted words. He stays here, he comes here and he sees me. To inquire about a person's health is for those who are absent, not for those who are present here. Yet he poses this question in his notebook. At times I reply, I am present in front of you face to face. The notebook hardly leaves here on one day and it is presented again on the following day. So what is the purpose of attending the majlis? What is the purpose of attending the majlis? What is achieved by it? There is no inclination to make amal. No inclination to practice. No inclination to make amal. There is no capacity to apply, to put into practice. This is so despite being a sahib ilm. This is destruction of one's time. Sometimes you get a murid, he writes like that. Oh, I'm so bad, I can't do my mamulat, I can't do this, I'm not getting that right. But now what prescription is given, doesn't follow through. Then now 2 weeks later he'll write the same story again. So there is no inclination towards making amal. Our Hazrat Mu'izz Qutb Sam Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that sometimes we also, because now we put on a kurta, topi, beard and all that, so we can't go to the soccer stadium for entertainment. No? Go and people will say, now this Mauli Sahib, where he came here. No? So we too now, we take programs for entertainment. There's some jalsa there, now there we can fit in with our beard and everything. Nobody will have a problem with us there. Nobody will point a finger. So we want to go. This jalsa to that jalsa, that jalsa to that jalsa, this program to that program. But in all of that, what amal am I making? What amal am I making? Allah Ta'ala reward the people, the ijtima, and you know, they have so much of calm and effort and everything. But how many of us go to the ijtima and really sit and listen and say, right now I'm going to make amal on this, I'll make amal on that. Or we just go to meet, eat, greet, move around here, there, and we met everybody, saw everybody, and then we came. It's no fault of the ijtima. It's our own weakness. Whether it's a istai jalsa, whether it's a madrasa jalsa, now our nephew is completing or something, we'll tell everybody, yeah, my son is qualifying, my nephew is qualifying, we have to go for that jalsa, you know. And we make it a point, we go. But now in that whole jalsa, what did I listen to? What amal came into me? I'm going for majlis. Now what I heard, how I'm going to implement? Is there a weakness in me? I need to analyze my life, look at it. I need to sort it out. Must sort it out, put it right. So this correspondence is very important. Razaji Rahmatullahi is giving this example that now in that correspondence also, how much of time is being wasted, unnecessary things being written. And life has become like this. If we really have to analyze ourselves, so much of time is in unnecessary things. Hazrat Muhammad Magda Sahib, Daud Barakatu, he always said, don't empty your kurta, don't dust your kurta. Yeah. In other words, you came, you heard everything, now you got in your lap. Now take it with you and go. Don't dust your, wake up and dust your kurta, leave everything here and go. Take it and go and bring amal. To bring amal needs mujahada. To become emotional, you hear something, become emotional, that's easy. To sustain it now. To sustain it, brought it into my life, this must remain in my life, I must be doing this with istiqamat. Right? That is a test. Then we are improving. I got an anger problem, I'm taking off, now I sought a remedy, I heard this anger thing is so bad, now I'm going to control it. Now no matter what this person says, whatever, I'm going to control this anger. I may slip up, I'll ask for maafi, but I'm going to bring about this change. Whatever it may be, each one of us, we have our own weaknesses, our own shortcomings. So this majlis will continue. We will discuss, Hazri discusses many concepts in this particular majlis. And inshallah ta'ala it will be very, very beneficial for us. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله.